Chapter 13. Are you a disciple? I like to paint the picture of Judgment Day with God asking something like this. Quote, James, you have a checkbook of money and a checkbook of time. Let's take a look at how you honored me in these areas versus everything and everyone else. End quote. So many will be cast into hell on Judgment Day because they spent more of the time and money God gave them on themselves and friends, entertaining, buying non-necessities, expensive vacations, sending children to college which teaches humanistic, God-hating curriculum for tens of thousands of dollars, etc., instead of serving a holy God. The question is, how do your, quote, checkbooks look in the eyes of God? Do you have, quote, pure and undefiled religion, end quote, as per James 1:27? Or are you a, quote, friend of the world, as per James 4:4? I pray not. I want to challenge you to make sure you are truly walking with Jesus as he wants you to, as a true disciple making disciples. Do you shuffle your children off to a wicked public school that teaches godless filth like humanism, evolution, the LGBT agenda, and so much more that God hates? How about a private, quote, Christian school that teaches a false man-made doctrine? One can't tell the difference between a, quote, Christian or a public school, as they both have not the truth. You must sacrifice whatever you need to in order to homeschool your precious child. What did Jesus do in his 3 years of ministry on earth? Go to, quote, Christian amusement parks or museums? Have all kind of, quote, conferences that take ungodly amounts of money away from the, quote, least of these, etc.? No. His days and nights were loving others by calling them to repentance and serving them. We're going to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 one more time. Quote, he that saith he abideth in him, also himself also to walk, even as Jesus walked. We know Jesus was brutally hated and killed by his, quote, own people, the Jews at the time. The prophets were hated by their own people. John chapter 4, verses 44 says, quote, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country, end quote. And all but one of the apostles were slaughtered. They were martyred by preaching the, quote, good news. They tried to murder the apostle John by boiling him in oil. Becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ will cost you everything. You will lose most all of your friends and family members, all the unsaved ones. And the professing fake, quote, Sunday morning Christians will hate you the most. You may lose your job or get demoted, go to prison, get physically hurt, and maybe even martyred. You might get spat upon, will be unpopular, seen as evil or hateful, or both, excommunicated from the Main Street Church. Your children will turn against you as well as your parents, and much, much more. Will you endure? There are people on both sides of this ditch like so many other issues in Christendom. The first group is concerned with building institutional, quote, churches, in other words, fancy buildings and large memberships. They have 100, 500, or even 5,000, quote, members, and they feel connected in a special way, and they call that, quote, unity. The truth is, if the Word of God is faithfully preached in a fellowship and there are 10 people who actually have a heart for that faithful preaching, then considering the current climate in America and most all other countries, that would actually be a large fellowship. Nearly every church's numbers are puffed up by other means. I recently considered how these verses describe the right way of counting the membership of a fellowship versus man's methods. Quote, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month in the second year after they come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the numbers of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. End quote. Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. How many are even in a position to even put on the whole armor of God and fight in it as the scripture instructs in Ephesians 6? What fellowship, excuse me, within a fellowship, the answer to that question is the true size of the fellowship. I believe that in America now, that would indeed make a fellowship of 10 a large fellowship, and would make a fellowship of 20 or more practically a megachurch. There simply are not enough saved souls in a town to have multiple large churches. Americans have just generally so terribly underestimated the gravity of what it means to be a Christian in their lukewarm state and the stakes of the war for truth that they don't consider that if there were really a group that was a biblical church, which also meant their standards of what a megachurch is, the conviction they'd receive from such a testimony would be unbearable for them. The level of community and connection when you support one another in a true godly apostolic fellowship is almost never seen. In a large, let's say, 200-member congregation, they feel a unity around a charismatic leader, identify with a huge choir or rock group they call contemporary Christian music and such things. But in all honesty, they don't know each other. They have not truly repented, which means confessed and forsook all sins, so they're not even Christians, or even know of the true issues a person might have. They love identifying with a location, a leader, and a large group. But the interesting thing about all that is that while God loves and desires unity, it's an ancillary, an extra benefit from loving and obeying Jesus and serving each other, not a goal in and of itself. The Great Commission is not to gather and be happy to live your, quote, best life now. It's to, quote, forsake all. Luke chapter 14, verse 33 says, quote, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple, end quote. To go to the lost and to make disciples. The fellowship should truly know each other and stand together, helping each other in all things. A typical institutionalized Main Street church building and congregation in the traditional model reverses the Great Commission to come instead of to go and make disciples. Jesus commanded the saints to go, to evangelize to the lost. The most godly method of a church meeting are small churches, including homes, as it keeps the cost down to a minimum, and the venue is more intimate. Surely in many parts of the world, a hidden church in the home is the only option. Further, there are simply not that many true Christians in one given area to warrant a very large church. We must implement evangelism as explained in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus trained his people to use. They went out of the four walls, out of the building of the house, to help start other fellowships and to minister to those who had needs, the impoverished, the orphan, the widow, etc. Professing Christianity now spends all of its resources on fancy buildings and worldly, quote, stuff to entertain lost souls, something the early church never did. Of course, we are not to forsake fellowship with brethren and local weekly meetings on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. This is commanded too, but it's to learn and to get equipped to do the work of the Lord, not to be entertained or, quote, motivated. When one is in a true fellowship, it's a, quote, 7 days per week fellowship, not an hour or two on a Sunday and maybe an hour Wednesday night. As an overseer of many indigenous missionaries in Africa and Asia, I have witnessed the institutional church model all over the world, and I will be honest, it's almost impossible to change the traditional church as institutions resist change. Most everyone has fully embraced the, quote, building is the church Western model of Christianity, down to fancy buildings, contemporary, quote, Christian music, coffee shops, cafes, and all the dressing up for a, quote, church. They love this model, and it's perfect for having the, quote, charismatic leader so many love. They love to adore a puffed up, quote, leader and identify with them in the Western model of the institutionalized church. This is the perfect platform for a worldly leader with a, quote, people-centered venue. We ought to have a Christ-centered venue, a Christ-centered church, not a man-centered one. Surely there are leaders in order for the biblical church, but it's not the unbiblical, quote, lords most all, quote, churches have today. the leaders, the pastors, the bishop, the elder, etc., have a much stricter judgment, so it's imperative they are, quote, chosen carefully, truly from God and living holy. 99% plus in these positions today should not oversee a bubblegum vending route, never mind shepherding a flock. Nothing against vending, just against the sugar these wolves use to deceive the masses. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 17. It says, quote, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, for which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar thereof, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of these beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are buried outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they, the pastors, the elders, etc., watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." End quote. Once you find a godly fellowship, here are the commands. Now, if there's not one close to you, pray to move to one as soon as possible. It's so very easy to fall away as a lone ranger. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 27 says, quote, "Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love to good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking far of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." End quote. The early church was fundamental. It sought for souls throughout the world and trained the saints for the work of the ministry. The fellowship of believers, the church meetings, are to sharpen the brethren's swords in preparation to go make disciples and to live a holy life pleasing to God. Not for the church to have a Sunday circus. I have experienced so much blasphemy from having the congregation wearing, quote, their favorite sports team jerseys and the church hosting wicked Super Bowl events, to even witnessing 25,000 pounds of sand brought to the altar to have a, quote, beach Sunday service. It's godless lunacy. The church is to be used to minister the word of God and to train brethren to do evangelism and ministry for the Lord. You cannot make disciples if you are not one yourself, and if you are not a disciple yourself, you will not make it to heaven. There is a great cost to be a true disciple of Jesus. The wolves in the Main Street Church will not preach this, as they would be out of a job. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he has laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassador, and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsakes not all that he has, cannot be my disciple. End quote. Jesus was a disciple maker, and he commands his disciples to go make disciples. This is a great commission spoken of in the Bible. It's his method of proselytizing to expand the kingdom of God. You must forsake all first. Listen to his clear command here. Quote, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, cannot be my disciple. End quote. What does forsake mean? To quit or leave entirety, in its entirety, to desert, to abandon, to depart from, to abandon, to announce, to reject, to leave or to withdraw from. In Scripture, God forsakes his people when he withdraws his aids or the light of his countenance. We never hear this in the modern church today. We blasphemously hear, quote, live your best life now, or, quote, worship God and receive earthly blessings, like a house, a car, expensive vacation, an overabundance of shoes and clothes, a motorcycle, a boat, etc. The eternal question is, have you truly renounced your claim to all worldly things, including your own life, and chosen the one and only God, Jesus, and him alone? A Christian is a disciple who makes disciples for the glory of God. That is the Great Commission spoken of in the Bible. Are you fulfilling the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 says, quote, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. End quote. You cannot make disciples if you're not a disciple of Christ yourself, and be sure you will end up in hell if you're not. Many professing, quote, believers read about giving up everything for Jesus, but they still have one foot in the world, which makes them lukewarm at best. It's a 100% commitment or nothing at all. There is no coming to Jesus, quote, your way. Jesus meant what he said from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. You must understand that you need to, quote, renounce everything. Jesus wants your total allegiance. You have to completely forsake mainstream Christianity, which does church once or twice a week, and that's all. You need to follow Jesus and obey all his commandments to be a disciple, and make disciples yourself. There is not another way but his way. The other side of this ditch we see all the time is where people forsake fellowship completely. This is also deadly. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you need fellowship with other believers for many reasons, some mentioned above. Most of professing Main Street Christianity are not disciples and will not make it to heaven. They are, quote, just believers. Some are, quote, pastors or Bible, quote, teachers, school teachers, policemen, farmers, fathers, mothers, etc., that think going to, quote, church and belonging to a small group or two is being made a disciple of Christ. They think the people that invited them to church, who are attending on a regular basis, are disciples too. But neither them nor most everyone in professing Christianity have ever been given the biblical call to become a true disciple, and surely have not paid the price of discipleship. One foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom does not cut it. Satan owns the fence. A true, mature Christian, one that has learned the doctrine, studied, been discipled by an elder in the faith, etc., has disciples. If you don't, you need to repent and start to obey the Almighty God, the Master Disciple Maker. I pray this book has opened up your eyes if you are not currently walking as he walked. In Luke 14, for example, we see how Jesus defines a disciple, and we see the actual call to discipleship. Jesus does not ask people to, quote, get saved, or, quote, believe in the work he did on the cross, or, quote, receive his finished work to be saved. He's not even promised them heaven unless they truly repent and endure till the end in obedience. Jesus asks them to give up, quote, everything and come and follow him. Does this sound like you? Have you given up, quote, everything to follow Christ? Most everyone is taught one of two ways. All that are, quote, saved are disciples, or slowly but surely one becomes a disciple as they grow closer to Jesus through study and prayer. This is the lie of, quote, progressive sanctification. When one progresses to be a disciple, and after a period of time, they, quote, walk as he walked. Why don't we look at what Jesus did? It's commanded we walk like him, as we read many times in 1 John 2:6. Not at some time in the future, but in the present. Not when one graduates into some, quote, super spiritual state or from some heretical seminary or, quote, Bible college, but now. We need to look at what Jesus commanded, and not the wolves in the pulpit who lead so many astray. Question: why do you call him Lord and do not do what he commands or follow his methods? Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" End quote. His first words after "repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand" are these, quote, "follow me." Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 19 says, quote, "From that time Jesus began to preach, to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." End quote. The false church calls, quote, converts to a nice and easy best life now with the promise of eternity for all who at one point in life said a, quote, sinner's prayer. They never speak of keeping the moral law of God, which Jesus commands, and you surely can't tell them from the world because they are part of it. This is called the emergent church movement, or as I like to call it, the Main Street Church. Contrast that to Jesus' call to give up and renounce everything. For 300 years, the church suffered in torture, refusing to renounce their Lord, and paid the ultimate price. They were known for, quote, walking as he walked, feeding the poor, going into, quote, all the world, making disciples, caring for the, quote, least of these, their brethren, living holy lives. This is the fruit of a people called to discipleship. Of course, most, quote, Christians never dropped their nets and went fishing for precious souls. Peter and Andrew dropped their nets to follow Jesus. Matthew never looked back at the tax collector's table when he was called. Zacchaeus apparently remained in his profession, but reorganized his life and priorities to the kingdom of God. The professing church prioritizes their life around their careers and other interests that they truly need to literally start all over again to follow Jesus as he commands, lest they perish in their false belief. As a heathen business owner for most of my adult life, I spent 70 plus hours a week working to build my businesses. I spent most of my time focusing on my business to make money for myself and my, quote, friends, and to live my best life now, the, quote, American dream. My spare time was mostly spent entertaining my flesh and others, or trying to replace a true godly purpose with, quote, fun. Now that I am in Christ and obeying him, he has put in my heart to work day and night for him. I would have it no other way. I am accountable to follow him, not my self-made plans. His ways, not mine. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7 says, quote, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." End quote. When I truly gave my life to Christ, I gave up the American dream. I rearranged my business plans big time, and I will tell you there is absolutely no joy, not even close, like serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, don't twist what I am teaching here. If we don't work, we shall not eat, for example. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, quote, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat," end quote. So when I preach what the Bible states by giving up, quote, everything, it means you renounce ownership of it in a sense that all you do now is for Jesus. His hard work is mandatory. There is nothing this world can offer like obeying his will and commands, so one's focus is no longer on that big promotion or working for, quote, self, but working hard for the kingdom and others. I truly have no greater joy than using the profits from my business to support the indigenous missionaries on the mission field as they make disciples and take care of the orphan, the widow, and the least of these, the brethren. You can have this, quote, perfect peace too, if you truly become a disciple and make disciples. If you are not a disciple making disciples, you need to read the next chapter, The Way to the Cross, and start at the beginning. For the love of your soul, I truly pray you do. The conclusion of the matter? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 through 14, quote, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good," which means righteous unto eternal life, "or whether it be evil, which is sin unto death," end quote.